Good evening to everyone. God bless you. We greet you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ this evening. I want to thank the youth for the songs that they sang. And it's hard for you to realize what a blessing you are just to come up here and do that. To those of us who are older, that gives us hope for the future. And so we gather in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ this evening. I know that Paul prayed that God would give him utterance and that Jesus commanded that we would have ears to hear. And so may God bring both of those things together this evening in a way that would bring glory to his name. Our desire tonight is to worship God. The Bible says that we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Jesus said, "I'm the good shepherd." And we know that the good shepherd cares for his sheep. And we know that the sheep trust him. They follow him. I should say we follow him. We hear his voice. And there's safety in the shelter of the fold. I trust that we have met that way this evening. But as we gather here in this capacity, it's good for us to remember that there are many lambs out on the mountainside. There are many sheep that have wandered astray that refuse to come to the shelter of the fold. And we know the heart of the good shepherd, that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come to the knowledge of the truth. So Jesus, as the good shepherd, not only cares for his sheep, but he seeks for the lost. There are several Bible prophecies of Jesus. I think of the one in Isaiah that says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom, and he shall gently lead those that are with young." Jesus said, he said it three times, "The good shepherd gives his life for his sheep." And so it's just a sweet thought this evening that our loving, gentle shepherd that gives his life for his sheep is here tonight. And so let's have a word of prayer that we could meet with him and make that connection clear. Father, we come to you this evening. We know that you do feed your flock like a shepherd, Father. We come this evening, Lord, to be fed. We know that you lead us beside the still waters. You lead us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. We know that you restore our soul. Father, we pray tonight that we would be restored, that we would be strengthened. Even in the midst of trials that we face, Father, that we could increase our trust and our faith in you. I pray, Father, that tonight your love for us, that we could feel it in a very clear way. We pray that we could feel your leading. And we pray, Father, that you would cause our hearts to be revived tonight, to be restored. Father, we pray that we would hear the gracious words that you have spoken through your word to us this evening. And so have your way, Father, in our midst. We pray that you will. We pray, Father, I know that you love to stir us up and encourage us, both in time of trial and in time of encouragement. Father, may it all come together to bring glory to your name. So we pray that you would meet with us this evening. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I am glad tonight that Jesus Christ is a gentle and a meek shepherd who loves his sheep. I've always liked Paul's words in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. It's in verse 1 where he says, "I beseech you by the meekness and the gentleness of Christ." That's a good beseeching, isn't it? That's God's heart to us, to come across in a blessed way that we could receive it. But that's not only a good beseeching, that's a good description of our Lord. The Bible testifies of Jesus that a bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench. And that scripture there is a good meditation for us to get an accurate picture of our Lord and for God's heart for us and his willingness to lead us. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, has compassion for a flickering wick. He has compassion for a broken blade of grass. That's the kind of Savior that we have, and that's the kind of Savior that we need. Amen? Because surely the people is grass. That's how we are. The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, and we get bruised, don't we? But even in that condition, Jesus will not cut us off. You know, sometimes, and I know this is true in my own life, sometimes I just feel like I'm really on fire for God. It seems like the flame is burning bright. There's a clear light coming forth. But if I'm honest, there are times when that flame flickers, even threatens to go out. And I want to challenge us tonight. Just want to ask this question. Have you ever been there? When the flame flickered and even threatened to go out. You know, in a crowd this size, I was just thinking, many of us have been there. And there's a good chance that someone is there tonight. And it's our desire that the Lord Jesus Christ could come alongside this evening and strengthen your heart. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax. You know, if you think about smoking flax, the flame is gone. There's still some life there. There's still some heat there, but the flame is gone in smoking flax. And Jesus Christ will not pinch you out. And if there's anyone here this evening, you know, you're hurting. You're discouraged. These are real things, and it's what I want to address this evening. When there's confusion, maybe there's someone who's searching in confusion. Maybe there's someone that's been bruised, but I want to tell you, if there's nothing left of you this evening but smoking flax, if the flame is gone, you know, nothing left but a little smoke coming off of the wick, I want you to know tonight that the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, will not pinch you out. He wants to fan you back into a flame. He wants to revive the heart of the contrite ones. That's the tender, loving desire of the shepherd that we have. And I think about the song sometimes that is sung. I don't know it real well, but I like the words. It goes like this. Lord, I know you'd find me, because that's the way you are. Like a shepherd searching for the lamb that's wandered far. I know I'd never leave you, but realizing that I could, it's good to know you love me. I know you would. If I should take back from you what I gave to you to hold, and take it out and waste it on fun and fame or gold, when you saw me lying there, stained among the good, would you buy me back with love? I know you would. That's the kind of shepherd that we have this evening. May we see our Lord that way. And may we receive that grace from him tonight. But brothers and sisters and youth that were here singing, and each one of us, that's the grace that God has for us. But that is the grace that we should have for each other. That we would have this same care one for another. 1 Corinthians 12 tells us. So I believe we have a very gentle message here this evening from a very gentle shepherd. And for a title tonight, I would like to use the words of the Lord Jesus that are written in red. They are words that Jesus spoke to a man who was discouraged, to a man who was confused. But he was a faithful man. And I want us to know tonight that faithful people can get discouraged. There are things that can bring in confusion. Let's not be judging someone if they're in a little bit of a state of confusion. Jesus said, blessed is he. These are comforting words. Whosoever shall not be offended in me. Those are words that Jesus sent to John the Baptist when he was confused. He was a good man. But things weren't turning out the way he had thought. And it brought on some confusion and some discouragement. And Jesus sent this message to John the Baptist, and I believe that he's sending it to each one of us tonight in a very gracious way. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. I would like to consider that passage of Scripture tonight. I'd also like to consider a question that many of us, probably all of us, have asked at one time or another, and that is the question, why? Why did this have to happen? That is a question that is usually asked at a point of some discouragement, at a point of some confusion, not being able to have an explanation of why this is happening. It's usually asked from a bruised reed or smoking flax. But I want to consider the gracious words of the Lord Jesus this evening, that blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. What did Jesus mean when he spoke those words? What did he have in his heart that he wanted to send to John the Baptist and to us? And I want to consider this tonight, and I want to consider it some more tomorrow night. And I want you to know, you know, you might be sitting here and things are going well, and God is good, and there's an excitement, and your flame is burning bright, and the light is clear, and you might think, this is not the message for me. I'm not at the point where I need this message, but I want you to know it's time for you to look beyond yourself just a little bit. You may not be at the point of discouragement, but your brother might be. We all need this message. We need to be able to speak into the lives of each other. This is the heart of God. Not only that God would have that tender compassion for us, but that we would have it for each other. I believe that is God's heart. So I want to consider, what does it mean? Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. You know what I think that means? I think it means that you will be blessed. That's what blessed is he means. It means you will be blessed. That's our desire this evening, is to be blessed by God, is it not? Who is this blessing for? Who will be blessed? Well, I tell you tonight, it's for whomsoever will. Blessed is he whosoever. Whosoever meets the requirement that Jesus gave here. He said, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And what I think that means is that blessed is he whosoever gives God liberty to speak into your life and say whatever he wants to say to you, anything, and you won't be offended. You'll receive it. If it's contrary to everything that's in you, you, by faith, understand this is from God. It's for my good, and you receive it. You won't walk away like the rich young ruler. You know, Jesus couldn't speak into the life of the rich young ruler. He didn't have liberty. Jesus did not have liberty to speak and say anything he wanted to into the life of the rich young ruler. That young man was offended when Jesus spoke. And it's because, I know in that situation, it's because he was a rich man. But he already had his plans made for his life. And that man walked away sorrowful. He walked away offended. But I tell you tonight, he did not walk away blessed. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. When Jesus can say whatever he wants to say in your life, and you won't be offended, you'll receive it. But it's even more than that. Jesus has liberty to use whoever he wants to use to say it to you. And you'll still receive it as from the Lord. You won't be offended Blessed is that person that can receive God's messenger into your life when it's contrary to the plans that you have made. Our desire tonight is that we would be blessed. And blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in anything God brings into our life. So it's God has liberty to say anything. He can send whoever he wants to send. And God can do whatever he wants to do in your life. He can let come whatever he wants to let happen to you, and you will not become bitter. This is the Spirit of Christ dwelling within his people. You will receive it. You will be blessed. You won't compare yourself with someone else, maybe who God is blessing at that particular time. This brings on jealousy. This brings on envy. This brings on strife. And we need to be honest. I think we do. In this life, there are many things happen to us that hurt us. They hurt. Well, we don't think they're right. Many things happen, lessons that we don't sign up for. There's lessons that happen to us that we even pray against that they won't happen to us. But many times, they still happen. Have y'all experienced that? Are y'all with me? I mean, this is my testimony, and I don't think I'm traveling alone, but it hurts when these things happen. And when they happen, they're not right. These things are not fair that come our way. But one thing is always for sure, and that is that God allowed it to happen. There's not one person here, there's not one person anywhere in the face of the whole world over that anything has happened to them but what God allowed it to happen. I want you to think about that. I need to think about that. Nothing has ever happened to you tonight, but God knew about it ahead of time, and God could have stopped it. Think about that. And many times I believe that he did. I think God has saved us from many things that would have happened that we couldn't handle. But many things, whatever happened to us, God either caused it to happen or at least allowed it to happen. Why don't we turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I just want to read a couple verses there as we consider this subject this evening. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I just want to look at verses 13 and 14. Very precious words here to a hurting heart, to a bruised reed, to smoking flax. These are precious words. I'll just tell you, we need to put faith in the Word of God. And there is strength from God in these verses when we believe what is written here. It says in verse 13 that no temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. But notice this, God is faithful, who will not suffer or will not allow you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. Jesus is the good shepherd tonight. He's in control of all things. He knows what is for our good. He knows what will bring him glory. And he's not going to let anything happen to any one of us that we can't handle. But it says here, God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted more than you are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And there's a conclusion that's drawn here in verse 14 that says, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. And I see a responsibility that lands upon us so that we can find strength in this verse. There are some things that we're going to have to flee if we're going to have strength to endure. I believe there are four things in the scriptures that we are commanded to flee, specifically with that word. And right Right here we have one, wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, it says, flee fornication. You know, God doesn't just give you strength to endure being in a place where you're just continually tempted with the lust of the flesh. God's provision is to flee. That's the provision that God made. Many people just feel like taking a deep breath and the Holy Spirit of God within, I can handle this. But sometimes God's provision is to get out of there. And I want you to, it says here that God is faithful to make a way of escape. Brothers and sisters, tonight, escape is not a victory word. No army victorious in battle ever had to escape. But this is the provision. And what this is saying is that the temptation is bigger than we are. And so we need to get out of there. That's the provision that God has made. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, you know, Paul is talking to Timothy about riches. And he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things. That's the provision of God on riches. It says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, Paul says, flee youthful lusts. Those things are bigger than we can handle. God's provision is to get us out of there and to protect us. I hope you youth got a hold of that. It's talking here about youthful lusts. There are temptations that come to you that God's provision is for you to get out of there. He'll make a way of escape. He will. And there's strength in taking that way of escape. Through all of these trials, it is God's heart that we would be drawn closer to Him, that we would understand our weakness, and that we would be obedient to the provision that He has made. Through all of these things, that we would learn to trust Him more. Blessed is he that can do that. David was a man, faced many trials, many temptations, David did. And there's times when David should have fled, when he did not flee. And there's just an example where even a godly man couldn't handle it. But God had made a way of escape for David, but he hung around. So may that be a lesson unto us. But David, in his faithfulness, through all of the trials, you know, David was not offended. David always returned to the Lord. And I like the verse that David wrote. I think it's in Psalm 119. It says, something about peace have they which love thy law. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. And so I think about the beauty of not ever being offended, no matter what God brings our way. But it's just an added dimension that in the midst of all that trial and that turmoil, there's great peace. I want to encourage us tonight. I want to encourage myself. I can have great peace in the midst of the trials that have come my way. They can bring glory to God. And if we're honest, many times, and we've seen it around us, people do get offended. They get bitter. There's times when people struggle, and we need to get practical and honest. Sometimes it's just from our finances. You know, things aren't working out too well. Maybe we used to have money, and from the course of some decisions, we don't anymore. That makes people bitter. Maybe it's physical health. Maybe we used to feel good, and we don't feel good anymore. Maybe it's in a marriage relationship or close relationships in a family. Maybe it's church trouble. Maybe we've been bruised. It happens. Maybe we've been wounded. Maybe there's been the death of a loved one, or maybe the death of a child that you've prayed for and God allowed it to happen, to take that child back to himself. I've had that happen. We laid our first child in that little grave. I remember that day. I know there's others here that have done the same and the question why and the heart aches and the heart bleeds. But it's God's heart that no matter what happens, blessed is he. Whosoever will not be offended at anything I allow to come your way, it'll draw us closer unto him. People get discouraged. They get confused. They get discouraged in the Lord, and they ask why. And those times are very, very real, and they can happen so quickly. I trust here tonight that there's no one going to judge anyone if they're a little discouraged. That's not our heart. I don't think it's God's heart that we would just get discouraged to where we, you know, question God, but it happens. And the Lord Jesus is a gentle shepherd, a bruised reed. That's a discouraged heart. He will not break. And smoking flax, he will not quench. I want to turn just to show you how quickly this can happen. In Matthew 26. I want to just turn here and look at a little passage here that's very interesting to me. Matthew 26. In verse 26, we see a communion here. And I was just thinking, you know, this would be about as good a time to be heaven to be clear, for the spirit and the heart to be right with God. It says, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body. And another scripture says, this do in remembrance of me. What a time of fellowship. This should be, and I look back at my life, these are high times. It says in verse 27, he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink ye all of it. For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink it henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. So they were having a communion right here on the earth. Jesus gives them the promise of doing it again in heaven with him. I mean, it's a good time. But I want you to read the next verse. When they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. Then saith Jesus unto them, all ye, that means every one of you, shall be offended this night because of me. All ye shall be offended because of me this night. That's right after communion. That's the same night. I'm just using this to show us things can happen. We're probably not going to be discouraged here at this tent meeting. I mean, God is real. We've been so blessed and so fed. But when we leave this place, things happen. It is God's heart that we would be drawn closer unto him. The Bible speaks about the offense of the cross. And there is an offense there, isn't there? You know, I mean, that old cross is an offensive thing. It's offensive to our flesh. It's offensive to our will. And it's offensive to our plans. People ask that question, why do I have to suffer wrong? Why did this have to happen? Why doesn't God answer my prayer? Why do I have to be crucified after all that I've been through? You know, now this too. Why this? And I want to just put out some things to you here this evening. When trials come, many trials do not have explanations. The trial is real, but the explanation doesn't come with it. Amy Carmichael made a very interesting statement. I'm going to quote her when I say this. She said, "We are trusted by God with the unexplained." That's a good meditation. When trials come, we are trusted by God with the unexplained. I've heard that there's over 300 questions asked in the book of Job. Job didn't understand everything that was happening to him. He was full of questions. He didn't understand what had happened in heaven. that Satan presented himself before the Lord, and the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And you know what the Lord told Satan? He said, "Everything Job has is in your power."
Whoa.
Job didn't know about that. He just saw the trials come one after the other, and they came without explanation. But what was Job's response? Job said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust in him." And I read that greatly challenged in my own life and in my heart when challenges come. "Though skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh will I see God. Yet will I trust in him." Brothers and sisters, we are God's people. We have trials. They come, fiery trials. But God's people live by promises, not by explanations. Think of it. God's people live by promises, not by explanations. If you think about it, having everything explained, that's not faith. Faith is not sight. Faith is not understanding everything, all the details. It's believing. Because God said, he gave us the scriptures, he sent the trials, and we know that we're not going to be tempted with anything except what God knows is good for us and will bring him glory. That's faith. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. When we have to have an explanation for anything, everything, that's not faith. So I want to challenge us with that this evening. But I don't think it's necessarily wrong to ask the question why, to cry out to God. Really, I look at the life of Jesus, and Jesus did that. He did that on the cross. You know, when he was there on the cross paying for the sins of the whole world, Jesus asked the question why. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And you shorten that thing down, it sounds just like us. My God, why? And if you notice in the account as it's given, there was no audible voice that answered Jesus on the cross. The answer was still 3 days away. The resurrection was still 3 days away. And many times, time reveals an answer. But until that time comes, we are trusted with the unexplained. And so blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. And I want to throw something in here. This is a very big thing, I believe, with God. We are talking tonight about not being offended, about taking whatever comes our way. But I want to say something here about us causing offense, about us being the offender. You know, many people feel like, "Hey, I'm not going through a trial right now," but they might be the person who caused an offense for someone else. And so I want to challenge us this evening. I want everyone here to listen very closely. I want your attention. I believe God wants our attention. We're here tonight to let God search our hearts, to let God shine his light into our hearts. And Jesus had a lot to say about the seriousness of causing offense in his kingdom. If anyone here tonight has caused an offense in someone else's life and hasn't made it right, I believe that God wants to get your attention. Jesus said, "It is better that a millstone were hanged about your neck." I don't care how good things are going for you. It is better for a millstone to be hanged about your neck and you cast into the sea. In other words, it's better to get rid of you than that you would cause offense. That's pretty powerful words. Jesus said, "Woe to this world because of offenses." Woe is judgment. We read about it in Revelation, the seven woes. woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth, but I tell you, woe unto this world because of offenses. And Jesus said it's impossible, but that they will happen. But woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. If you look at the scriptures, there's a lot to say in there. One of them is that if you're wanting to serve God, if you're wanting to bring a sacrifice to God and just lift up God, but you come to the altar and you remember at the altar that your brother has ought against you, if you remember that you've caused offense to him, you're okay, but he isn't. Maybe it's your son, maybe it's your brother, maybe it's your pastor, maybe it's one of the flock of the sheep, sheep of the flock. But if you remember there is someone who has aught against you, you know what God says? I always marvel at that. He says, don't even come to me. Just lay your sacrifice down and you go make it right. And then you come and his arms are wide open. I want to challenge us tonight. Maybe we should just have a little quiet time here and meditate. Is there someone that I have offended? This is a serious thing. Wish I had a millstone here tonight just to impress us with the words of Jesus. Millstone around your neck. No question about what happens to you. Down you go. That's better. We can't cause offense. Now, offenses can be made right. But brothers and sisters, they can't be let go. I believe if there's an opportunity this evening to open the altar, this would be a good place to let God put his finger on our heart. Woe to this world because of offenses. It's impossible but that offenses will come, but woe to that man by whom the offense cometh. I think about church leadership. I know there's several church leaders here. Probably the most common testimony the world over is that people got hurt by church leadership. And I know that those testimonies are not all true. There's just some bitterness there where they couldn't receive, you know, the messenger of the Lord. And there's a lot of that there. But many times, are we as gentle as the Lord Jesus in dealing with people? A bruised reed will he not break? Smoking flax will he not quench? Have we caused offense? This causes my heart to tremble. God, have mercy on us. Maybe there's someone in the fellowship that caused an offense to leadership. It goes both ways, brothers and sisters. There's none of us here that are free from this. There's church leadership that stepped down. They've quit. They've been discouraged. Is it because of you? This is a big thing with God. May God speak to our hearts this evening. Our subject tonight is, blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. And so I would like to turn to Matthew 11. That's the passage where this scripture is comes forth from the mouth of the Lord Jesus. And I would just like to look at this situation. It's the story of John the Baptist in prison. And I know that this is going to be different than many of our trials that we face. We're not in prison, but we can translate this into our situation. I believe the grace of God can do that. And we can learn. So by God's grace, let's translate. Let's take a look at this passage of Scripture. I think we'll just read to begin here. In chapter 11, we'll just read 11 verses here. It says, "And it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. And when John had heard in the prison the works of Christ, he sent two of his disciples and said unto him, Art thou he that should come, or do we look for another? Jesus answered and said unto them, Go and show John again those things which ye do hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, The lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And here it is, John, gracious words. Go tell John, blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. Blessed is he, John, whosoever will not be offended if I allow them to end up in prison. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, what went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken in the wind? But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. I think I'll just stop reading there. And so I just want to challenge us tonight, before we're too hard on saying it's just horrible sin to ever be discouraged, to ever be bruised, to ever be challenged. John the Baptist was so discouraged, he was so confused that he sent his disciples to ask Jesus if he were the Christ. Or do we look for another? It's hard for me to comprehend that John even sent that message. John was in prison. And I want you to notice here in verse 4, Jesus answered and said unto his disciples, John's disciples, go and show John again. You know what that means? That means go remind John of some things that he's forgotten. And you know, many times when, I know it's true with me, when I'm discouraged, when I get hit hard with whatever life brings, I forget the goodness of God. I forget the tremendous resources that he has to provide for this situation. We forget. And Jesus mentioned, go tell John, go show John again those things which ye do hear and see. And he said, the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up. I was just, you know, it was a while back, I was looking at this and I was just thinking, okay, when I'm discouraged, I need to remember these things. And I was just thinking, I'd never really experienced any of this. I was just trying to be honest with myself. I'd really never seen the blind receive their sight. I hadn't really seen that. I'm not saying it hasn't happened. I'm just saying it wasn't part of my testimony. I hadn't really seen the lame who had never walked, you know, walking and leaping and praising God. I hadn't seen that. I hadn't seen lepers cleansed. And I kept reading here. I hadn't seen the deaf get their hearing back. I hadn't seen the dead raised up. And I was just thinking, Lord, I haven't forgotten these things. I've never seen them. And it's like the Lord said to me, you don't have to see them all. Will one of these things do? And I was just thinking, well, yeah, I don't need to see them all, but one, that would sure help. And it seemed like the Lord said to me, you're not done reading yet. And so I just kept reading here. And the poor have the gospel preached unto them. Jesus used that as proof that he was the Son of God. Isn't that a marvelous thing? And I had to say, well, I've seen that. I've seen the poor cry out for salvation and be translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son. People so poor, you know, they couldn't even make ends meet. Entered into the kingdom of God. Beautiful thing. And Jesus said he used this as proof to John that he was the one that should come. So that's a marvelous testimony. It's no less marvelous than any of the other things that are listed there about seeing the dead raised up or the blind receiving their sight or the lame walking. A sinner can be translated into the kingdom of God. Now, John knew there are some things that he remembered. He knew that he was called by God to be a forerunner of Jesus Christ. He knew the scriptures. You know, the 400 silent years were now over. Exciting things were beginning to happen. God was beginning to speak. The Messiah had come. And John had an awesome privilege, an awesome calling. It was an exciting time. Dreams were coming true. Plans were being made. Prayers were being answered. And John was preaching. John was baptizing. And the crowds came. And did they ever come? All of Judea came out to hear John preach and to be baptized of him. They were responding. It was a time of revival. But all of a sudden, John spoke to Herod, "You can't have your brother Philip's wife." And he got thrown in prison. Now he's in prison. But he remembered his calling. He knew what he was here for. All of his preaching had come to a screeching halt. And I think it'd be good if we could see what was in John the Baptist's heart here. John was a man of God. He was called specifically by God. And even by Jesus' own testimony that we read here, John was the greatest man that was ever born of a woman. He was born miraculously in the old age of his parents, Zechariah and Elizabeth. And I'm sure that John knew about that, don't you? I'm sure that Zacharias had told John many times, "John, I couldn't even speak until you were born. And when you were born, you know, I'd said his name is John." And I believe that John was just listening to those things. I'd like to just turn and read to you what I believe that John had been told by his father. He said there, Zacharias, I believe, told him that there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right hand of the altar of incense. And when he saw him, Zacharias was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard, and thy wife Elizabeth shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." John knew these things. John in prison. "And thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink. And he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost, even from his mother's womb." You remember that John leaped in his mother's womb when he heard Mary's voice, the mother of his Lord. And Zechariah had told John, "Many of the children of Israel shall you turn to the Lord your God. And he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elias to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." John knew all of these things. And I'm not a historian, but I've been told when John was in prison, he had only preached just a few months. He hadn't preached for years. He had just shared a few sermons. He had baptized a few people. And then he was in prison. And I believe that John had heard the very voice of God. I think God, I'm going to say personally, spoke to John, because John said, "He that sent me to baptize with water," that's God, "He that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, the same is he which baptizeth with the Holy Ghost. And John said, and I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God." And John had boldly proclaimed to all of Judea, "Behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world." Think of the clarity in John's message. "And now to Jesus, art thou he that should come, or do we look for another?" Think of it. This is a righteous man, and he was really confused. Why was John confused? I want to challenge you with what I think is why John was confused. Because things were not turning out the way John thought they would. He thought Jesus would set up his kingdom. He was going to prepare the way before him. And there would just be marvelous things happen. He didn't see himself ending up in prison, let alone beheaded in prison. I mean, maybe in prison, but getting out and going forward. The plans that John had, it was not explained to John. He was trusted with the unexplained. And many times when confusion, when discouragement sets into us, it's because our plans got messed with. But blessed is he whosoever gives God liberty to bring whatever he wants to bring into our life and will not be offended, will not walk away, will receive it as from the Lord. John looked out there and he saw Jesus. He knew he was doing miracles. He knew there was healing going on. But Jesus was kind of running. He was kind of hiding, teaching in the humblest way. The leaders of the church were hating him more and more all the time. And John was stuck in prison and he was discouraged there. And so I just want to challenge us, when that time comes, that is the time to completely bow your heart to the living God. And I'll just tell you, brothers and sisters, if you're not there, if you've never been there, you're going to be there. God will lead you there. I say that very tenderly, very kindly, very even in prayer, that it won't happen, because, you know, we want life to be good. The Bible says, he that would love life and see good days. I mean, there's a formula there, and it just seems like God's blessing can come, but we will be challenged. And when that challenge comes, let's not be offended. Let's not walk away, and let's certainly not cause offense to make it hard for someone who is there. So Jesus said to John's disciples, you go back and tell John who is confused in prison, John who is about to lose his head in prison, go back and tell John, the dead are raised up, the lame walk, the poor have the gospel preached unto them. And John, I believe Jesus said, listen to me, John, listen to my heart of God, John, blessed is he. That's what Jesus said. That's the message he sent to John in prison. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Gracious words from a gracious master. Gracious words to a hurting heart. I believe they can be to us this evening. And those were words that John needed to hear. They're words that we need to hear. It's a gentle message, but it's a deep message, is it not? It's a message that brings glory to God and to his name. I don't know what was in John's heart, but when he was in prison there and the guillotine came down, you know, he could have been thinking, this just can't be happening to me. But I like the words of the song that says, when I get, I'm not sure I can quote these, to that beautiful city. Anyway, this shall be my rejoicing, that my heart said amen to your will. Can we do that? When God changes your plans, when God's pen writes a different story for your life than you have written, and it calls for submission, I believe that a broken heart will hear him. That's the burden of the message that we have tonight. When things don't turn out right, when plans change, when the trials of life come, when the cross comes, well, that old offensive cross. You know, the Bible is full of people who got their plans changed, and some of them were offended and walked away. There's one scripture, it's a sad scripture. It says, after that, many of his disciples walked no more with him. They were offended at the things that he was teaching. So there's a choice that we have to make. And I think it's good if we can make it ahead of time, so that when the time comes, we have that strength. I think about Joseph. He was a very godly man. God had spoke to him in dreams and given revelation from God about his future. But I tell you, things did not go well for Joseph, did they? I mean, you wasn't going to get an explanation in those dreams of everything that was going to happen, that he was going to be sold into slavery. But Joseph wasn't bitter at God. Joseph ended up in prison for many years. I tried to figure out once how many years he was in prison, and it's hard to figure out, but it was many. And there was plenty of opportunity for Joseph to be discouraged and for him to be bitter and for him to forget those dreams. But he never forgot. He never got confused. He always made the best of it. I'm going to say that Joseph was blessed. Joseph became ruler of Egypt because he was faithful with the unexplained. How faithful are we? You know, sometimes we forget, brothers and sisters, the tremendous resources that God has to provide in our situation. I was thinking about Joseph in prison. He'd been there for years. How is he ever going to get out of here? Finally interpreted the dream that the butler surely should get him out of here. But it says when the butler went back and was restored to his office, it says he forgot all about Joseph. And so here's Joseph still in prison. But all of a sudden, Pharaoh has a dream. And the butler remembers. And you remember what Pharaoh said? He said, bring Joseph in. And it says Joseph hasted to shave himself. The best that I can tell, there was no more than 1 hour from hopeless in prison to prime minister of Egypt. It was so fast that your mind can't even comprehend it. Sometimes we forget the tremendous provision. The things are in God's control. He can make happen whatever he wants to happen. I think about Abraham. God told Abraham, you know, all the promises of your son, all the promises of his seed is the stars of the skies, the sand by the seashore. And then God said to Abraham, I want you to offer your son, your only son Isaac. I said, that was a change of plans. But Abraham made a choice. He believed God. What does it say? It says he was accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. I mean, Abraham believed God. I trust that we can be there when the challenges and the trials come our way. I think about Mary and Martha when their brother Lazarus was sick. You know, when Lazarus was sick, Mary and Martha had a plan, didn't they? They did in their mind. What was their plan? Bring Jesus and he'll come and heal him. And Jesus didn't come. Were they offended? They were not offended. You know, sometimes our plans are pretty little. Come and heal him. But God has bigger plans. He'll raise him from the dead. He'll bring glory. I believe that God is looking for that kind of faith. I think about the Syrophoenician woman. You know, I've marveled at her. If anybody could be offended at what Jesus said to her, it would be the Syrophoenician woman. It's not meat to give bread to the dogs. And that woman made a choice. She could have been offended, but she said, yes, but the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the rich man's table. And I just marvel at that woman's faith. She was not offended. And how many of us would be offended if somebody said that to us? Think about it. But she wasn't offended, and if she had been, she was that close to having her prayer answered. How many times are we that close to victory and we turn away in bitterness and walk away? She received those hard words from the Lord. I've looked at that story. I want to tell you why I think Jesus went up to that part of the country. I think he went up there specifically to heal that woman's daughter. Didn't sound like it. But if you read the story, God brings challenges into our life to see if we'll come through. That was what happened in Job up in heaven. Hey, have you considered my servant Job? Okay, he's on trial. He don't have any of these explanations. We don't either. But God is sending a trial to bring glory to his name. He will move in our behalf. And if he doesn't, it brings glory to his name. Why was the man in John 9 born blind? Jesus said it's not because he sinned or because his parents sinned, but it's to bring glory to God. Why do trials come our way? It's to bring glory to God. Naaman, you know, wash and be clean. And he saw that muddy Jordan, and it was just humiliating to him. He had to humble himself to do it. And it was just wasn't a voice out of heaven. It was just an humble little servant that just says, I mean, all he's asking you to do, master, is just wash. Why don't you just do it? And Naaman humbled himself, and the blessing came. So often the blessing comes when we humble ourselves. I want to close with, if you want to turn to John chapter 6, there's just an interesting verse here that I think about often. I appreciate it. Jesus was teaching here, except you eat my blood and drink my flesh, you have no life in you. And this is where it says that many of his disciples walked no more with him. And Jesus looked at his disciples and said, will you also go away? And it says in verse 61, when Jesus knew in himself that his disciples murmured at it, he said unto them, does this offend you? Look at verse 62. Jesus says, look beyond this situation here. Does this offend you? What and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up to where he was before? What if you could look beyond the trials of this life and see the glory of God and see the rewards to the faithful? That's what happened to the people in Hebrews 11. You know, they looked beyond this life. They looked for a city that was built by God. And Jesus is saying here, what and if ye shall see the Son of Man ascend up where he was before? It is the Spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. These are words of life from the Lord Jesus. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. Sometimes we're offended not only at a situation in life that comes, but I've seen women who were offended that they had to submit to their husband. I've seen people who were offended at the commandments of God. Why do I have to do that? Well, if God sends a commandment, it's from God. Yes, we have to do that. Don't be offended. Don't walk away. I've seen people who wouldn't come to the Lord. They wouldn't be born again. They wouldn't give their life to the Lord. They were offended that they were told they were a wicked sinner. We need to agree with God. And God can move in our midst. Don't be offended at your authority. Like we heard this morning, don't be offended at the place where God has placed you in the body. I've seen people who were offended at that. Blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I want to remind you tonight, God will not use you. He will not bless you. You will not be blessed if you cause offense. I want you to hold that before the Lord this evening. We stand before a holy God tonight. Everything is in his control. Like we heard this morning, God never turns the corner and is surprised at what he sees. Our understanding is so small. We don't have the explanations. Our trials are great. We see through a glass darkly, but we have been trusted with the unexplained. And so blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended in me. I think I'm going to mention yet something about the rich young ruler. He was offended. But have you ever wondered how much God would have used that man? We read about Peter. We read about Paul. We read about John. But have you ever wondered how much the Lord would have used that rich young ruler if he had not been offended? Many people wanted to follow the Lord. The maniac of Gadara. There were others I'll follow you wherever you go. And Jesus sent them home. Go home and tell what great things God has done for you. But he called the rich young ruler. And he was offended. What a ministry he lost because of his riches. What stands between us and God tonight to say amen to his will? I want to encourage us. Blessed is he, whosoever shall not be offended in me. God bless you, Brother David.